Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Aaron Schaffelwalliff, my colleague at MRM. It's good to have you on the show. We always have Eric here, and sometimes I'm about to say Eric instead of Aaron.
But then the Schaffelwalliff throws you off.
I have to concentrate, and by having to concentrate, I don't screw that up. So anyway, the past several days, we've been looking at the five solas, and as we've explained, they're Latin phrases which kind of explain where we are as evangelical Christians on the basics of what we believe. And the five are sola scriptura, by scripture alone, sola Christo, through Christ alone, sola gratia, by grace alone, sola fide, by faith alone. Today we are going to look at sola Deo gloria, glory to God alone. And yes, there will be a test after this. So by the time we're done with this, you need to know what those five are. The reason we're looking at this is because this is a simple tool using these bullet points to try to explain to our LDS friends what it is exactly we believe and why, because of course there are Bible verses that support all of those premises. So this is what we're talking about, and today we're looking at for the glory of God alone, sola Deo gloria.
So there's this neat passage in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." It's very encompassing. You're drinking a glass of orange juice, you're eating Cheerios, you're working, you're sleeping, you're going to bed. Paul wants you to put all of that under the rubric of to the glory of God. Now, what do I mean by glory? I think there's different ways we speak of glory. We could talk about the glory of man, Shekinah glory. We could talk about humans glorifying God. What would that mean? Well, let me be very clear here. God has a glory in and of himself that is independent of any man glorifying him. When man glorifies God, he is ascribing to God a value that God already has. We're not adding to God's glory. I've seen some historic Mormon theologians talk about, even Joseph Smith in the King Follett Discourse, about the adding of glory to God in the generations of the gods. So I want to be very clear here. God has his godness, and in the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally, he has all the glory that he will ever have. It is infinite. It is the radiance of the excellencies or the perfections or the beauties or the qualities or the attributes. Everything about God is good and awesome and beautiful. And so what does it mean to do everything to the glory of God? Well, it means to do it in light of who God is, so that he gets all the praise, so that all the credit goes where it belongs to God. Really interesting passages in the Old Testament about the way God speaks about his own people. I wish I had more time, but if you look at towards the end of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God talks about dealing with his people for the sake of his name, to protect his reputation, as it were, to make a great name for himself. One really stark passage on this issue is Isaiah 48, verses 9 and 11. It said, "For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. For my own sake, comma, for my own sake, I do it. For how should I let my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." And I think it's really great to share that passage with people, with Christians, with LDS people. It's a shocker. Who would talk about themselves like that? That's unnatural. In human relationships, if someone talked about themselves that way, we would think them full of themselves. So I think it's good to stop and ask about the definition of pride. I think a good definition of pride is thinking too highly of yourself. What's really cool about God is he can't think too highly of himself because he's the highest. He's the most high. Going on to Romans 11, Paul says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Talk about giving credit where credit is due. And in Revelation 7, oh, it's awesome. "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces," wow, "before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" They weren't adding to God's power. They were speaking about God's power. They were ascribing to him. They were selling. This is neat too, because what John Piper talks about, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. He's the satisfying one. He's the giver. He's the most awesome one. So the life of worship in the life of a Christian is that of enjoying God and ascribing to God all the credit, all the glory. So how does this fit with the five solas? By scripture alone, by grace alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Well, the big picture comes together because it's by grace alone, through faith alone, and the work of Christ alone, so that, like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, you don't boast. So you have no bragging rights. Salvation's designed so God gets all of the credit and you get none of it. And Christians love it that way, because the pleasure and the joy of a Christian is saying, to God be all the glory. He's the giver. He's the good one. He's the heavenly Father. He gave. He's the giver. And so how does that fit with by faith alone? Well, it's not by my works. It's by a really weak receiving receptacle called faith that I am forgiven and justified. And God gets all the credit that way. It's by the work of Christ alone. It's not by any work I do to add to that, or the work of the saints, or the merit of the saints. It's not by the merit of the church. No, it's by Christ and his work alone. So that's the flavor. And that's, I think, the fundamentals of the evangelical faith, of giving God all the credit for the work of Christ alone, bound to scripture alone. And by the way, how does this fit with by scripture alone? Well, I think there's a neat thread in the Bible of God accomplishing amazing things effortlessly. So he speaks light into existence by saying, "Let there be light." And if Hebrews 1:3, we talked about this earlier in months past, Christ upholds the universe by the word of his power. And you have this theme in the Gospels of Christ casting demons out by a mere word, or healing and then forgiving people by a mere word, stopping the storm with a mere word. And it speaks to his power and his raw authority. So how is God honored and glorified by Christians approaching scripture as their final authority? Well, the issue here is when somebody communicates their word, they're honored when it's found trustworthy, and they're honored when it's authoritative, right? So because scripture is God's breathed out word, it's not merely a secondhand report of God's word. It is God's word. We receive it as the authority in our life, and we trust it because it's his word. So this is really just our way of being like little kids and hearing the voice of our heavenly dad. And when he says, jump, we jump. When another voice comes, like Jesus says in John 10, the voice of another shepherd, we know the voice of the true shepherd, and the Father has got us in his hand. So anyway, so you can honor God by receiving the Bible as his word. And you don't, how does that look like in your life, maybe? Well, it means you don't need a human authority, maybe a priestly or prophetic figure, to enact authoritative things in your life for forgiveness, for baptism. You don't need to look to some special authority structure that is alongside or above the Bible. You look to maybe an authority structure that is under the Word of God, that's just people trying to obey the Word of God. But here's the way I'd put it to like a kid. If your dad says, clean your room, you don't need papers for that. If you're the military and you're told, you know, report for duty early tomorrow morning, extra early, you do it. It's your boss. His word is enough. Well, when God says, go, when Jesus says, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me, go, preach, teach, baptize, your sins are forgiven, those kinds of things. That's enough. His word is enough. And you could go with a freedom and an authority because his word is enough. So in the end, that honors him because it's his word. And he means to be glorified and honored. He means for you to brag in God, about God, not in yourself. So yeah, just to put it really bluntly, God is, he has a conspiracy to get all the credit and all the glory and all the fame. And that's the joy of a Christian. And that's where all the things come together.
I think we could close the show with what it says in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to what? Glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And the fact that he desires to have us enjoy forever with him is just an incredible gift on his part that he bestows upon his people. And hopefully, again, the reason why we're going through these five solas is these are very simple bullet points that we can use when we're talking with our LDS friends to let them better understand, I think, what the word actually teaches as opposed to what they may be hearing in the local ward and from conference. And also to explain to them exactly what we believe as Christians to hopefully straighten out a lot of the caricatures and stereotypes that they may have regarding what we believe. Because I find just as there's a lot of confusions among Christians as to what Mormons really believe, the same goes for Mormons in trying to understand what we believe. So these five solas, we hope that you'll use them. If you want to check out our archives, you can listen to the past broadcasts. But hopefully you can use these in witnessing situations to share the gospel with your Mormon friends.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have dozens of articles and video resources that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live weekend presentation. Remember, we're here to equip the body of Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, that's MRM.org.